bit of her charm, if you want to call it that, salesmanship, and just watch what she does with this. This is some of the slickest stuff I've ever seen pulled off by the devil through a very sincere woman. I believe Oprah really believes, just as I did when I was in the New Age, that what she's teaching could really save the world. But what it'll do is it'll actually set the stage, is setting the stage for Antichrist. So hopefully you'll be able to get the sound so people can hear it.
Keeping your sanity because it looks like the world has gone just crazy. When you talk to your family and friends, do they say that they feel some of this craziness too? Two things inspired me to do this show today, the movie Grand Canyon and a new book that you're going to hear a lot about. You're going to get answers today if you want them in this hour. If you've gotten to the point of feeling that everything, your time and your safety and your children's safety and your relationships and your work have been snatched out of your control, and we are a nation of people going crazy, confused human beings, please sit down and listen. This is the way it is.
Traffic there remains very heavy getting away from the Long Beach interchange as you head out.
The Tobin Bridge is back up right back to the toll plaza.
Kristen was abandoned this weekend, about 2 days after she was born.
I'm in here for rape one and sodomy one. I started when I was 10.
I think we're all raising Jeffrey Dahmers.
A bullet went through a window and struck LaToya in the head.
Do you see peace? Have you ever seen peace in this country?
Because
there are a whole lot of people in
want.
But peace and peace ain't you for nobody.
You want chaos.
Hey, if I get killed, one nigga gone.
Her attacker was her daughter-in-law.
Because she went only man got to wish her now, she's gonna kill.
The worst is yet to come.
They then burn me, they stab me, they rape me.
Who's gonna pay our bills? Who's gonna take care of us until I find another job? I have no one to rely on.
I was so blind because I was working midnight, going to school during the day.
Are you asking me a favor as a sign of respect? Or are you asking me a favor because I got the gun?
Man, the world ain't supposed to work like this. I mean, maybe you don't know that, but this ain't the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be able to do my job without asking you if I can. That dude is supposed to be able to wait with his car without you ripping him off. Everything's supposed to be different than what it is.
It's supposed to be. But what's gone wrong? My guest today is Marianne Williamson. Many of you know who she is because thousands of people every week, poor people and rich people and lots of celebrities, go to hear Marianne Williamson speak in Los Angeles and also in New York City. And what she talks about is based on a set of books. Many of you have heard about them, called A Course in Miracles. Marianne has become a teacher, a leader in the philosophy that I personally know could change the world. I believe that in my heart. And she has now written her own book. The book is called A Return to Love. Now, let me just say this, that every day I have guests on this show, and I'd say at least 3 out of 5 times during the week, those guests come on the show with a book. I've read many books over the years. I have never been as moved by a book as I have by Marianne Williamson's book called A Return to Love. So moved, in fact, that I went out and bought 1,000 copies. And we'll be giving you all a copy before you leave here today. But I really do believe that the message in the book, Return to Love, is what we all need so much in our lives. And that's why I cannot, if it sounds like I'm trying to hype the book, I really am. Because I believe that it's so, so important. And for the first time, you can open a book and actually see some answers. So I first of all, I feel blessed that you're here and that you came to write the book.
You can open the book and see some answers. Do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. I hope that you're able to see just how influential this woman is. This is just one small clip from one show that she's been doing for years. I know that she had Marilyn Ferguson, who had a key book called The Aquarian Conspiracy that introduced the great heretical idea that God is in everyone. She had Marilyn Ferguson on a show called The New Age Movement back in 1987. So you tell me, how many years is that? You know, 13, 28 years she's been doing this. Author after author after author. She used to, originally, she'd have a panel where she would maybe have, you know, someone like Johanna Michelson or Roger Oakland on one side and the New Agers on the other. No, it's been years since that happened. This has been going on for a long time. And for whatever reason, Christian leadership just doesn't seem to like, oh, Oprah, this is the spirit of Antichrist. I don't care how sincere she is. I don't care how sincere I was. We were sincerely wrong. So we'll continue on here. That was 1975. The Course in Miracles was introduced, and then she did that in 1992. In 1978, M. Scott Peck, who called himself a Christian, wrote a book called The Road Less Traveled. He was really a mystical pre-emergent Christian, quote-unquote Christian. He said in his book, "And again, I know of no hypothesis as satisfactory as to the postulation of a God who is intimately associated with us, so intimately that he is part of us. If you want to know the closest place to look for grace, it's within yourself. If you desire wisdom greater than your own, you can find it inside you. To put it plainly, our unconscious is God, God within us. We were part of God all the time." When I was in the airport before I came here, I saw there was a new book by Pastor T.D. Jakes, and it was the title was something like Trust Your Gut. In other words, the heart is not deceitful above all else, just go with your heart. T.D. Jakes has been on Oprah like it was no big deal, and he gave like a little generic sermon about God. Rick Warren's been on there. Joel Osteen's been on there. Joel Osteen welcomed Oprah to his church sometime in the last year or two, and looked down into the audience and said, "We're just so honored to have you here. You know, God bless you, Oprah." Hello. So Marilyn Ferguson, I mentioned, she had the Aquarian Conspiracy book in 1980. In that book, she said, "God within, the oldest spiritual heresy. In the emergent spiritual tradition, God is not the personage of our Sunday school mentality." You get that? The Sunday school mentality, like that's just like infantile. God is experienced as flow, wholeness, the ground of being. Ground of being being the foundation. God is the foundation. God is in everyone, in everything. 1980, messages from Maitreya, the Christ who says he's here on earth. On page 88 of his book, this false New Age Christ says that he is Christ. He says, "My friends, God is nearer to you than you can imagine. God is yourself. God is within you and all around you." His spokesperson, Benjamin Krim, said in 1980 in his book, he said, "But eventually a new world religion will be inaugurated, which will be a fusion and synthesis of the approach of the East and the approach of the West. The Christ, this isn't Jesus Christ, this is the universal Christ. The Christ will bring together not simply Christianity and Buddhism, but the concept of God transcendent outside of his creation and also the concept of God immanent in all creation." There's that term again, in man and all creation. When I looked this up on an internet dictionary, the first definition of imminent that came up was this New Age definition. It's the predominant definition now. 1983, some people that have been around for a while, Shirley MacLaine, out on a limb. She was one of the first people to bring this occult New Age belief system to the public's attention with her book, Out on a Limb, and also with the made-for-TV movie that was the butt of late night jokes. David Letterman made fun of her. She, you know, when you bring in something heretical or something new, it gets kicked around for a while, and then all of a sudden it starts to move in. You know, if a lie is told, you know, repeatedly enough and often enough, it eventually becomes a truth. What everybody believes is truth does not make it truth. Then in 1987 on the Oprah Winfrey Show, Marilyn Ferguson, the author of Aquarian Conspiracy, the show is mentioning, On that show, Winfrey praised New Age minister Eric Butterworth and his book, Discover the Power Within You. Butterworth's book, he was a Unity New Age minister in New York City. His book, Discover the Power Within You, had a back cover endorsement by Norman Vincent Peale. And inside, he had over 100 references to the divinity of man. On that program, Oprah told her audience in 1987, one of the most important books I think I've read in my life was a book by Eric Butterworth, Discover the Power Within You. And what Eric Butterworth said in that book is that Jesus didn't come to teach us how divine he was, but came to teach that there is divinity within us. So there it is. She's had this for a long time. I'm not sure exactly. She was brought up in a Baptist church, but she rejected that. I think the poet Maya Angelou, who is a Unity follower, New Age follower, I think had a huge influence on Oprah, as well as all these other people like Marianne Williamson. Marianne Williamson, by the way, ran for Congress in California, in the Hollywood area, and came in fourth out of 16 people. Can you imagine if some of these people get into politics? All of a sudden, we're going to have the Secretary of Spirituality in Hillary Clinton's cabinet, Marianne Williamson, something like that. These things are quite possible. 1991, David Spangler. He was one of the pioneering voices of the New Age. He helped to found Findhorn, which is a New Age community in Scotland. In his book, Reimagination of the World, he says, there's nothing new about saying, I am God. However, in the Judeo-Christian Muslim world, God is usually not popularly understood as a universal presence, the ground of all being. Well, you know, the Jesus in the shack said, God, who is the ground of all being, dwells in and around and through all things. That Jesus in the shack just complied completely with the definition of this New Age God in everyone. Ray Youngen, a friend of mine, and he's written a couple of really good books, Time of Departing, all about the contemplative emergent movement, and Many Shall Come in My Name. He actually went to a talk by Paul Young, the author of The Shack, and in the question and answer period, Ray raised his hand and he said, Mr. Young, is God in everything? And Young got all rattled, the author of The Shack, and he said, yes, Ephesians 4:6. That's exactly the same passage that Rick Warren used in The Purpose-Driven Life, where he used a New Century Version Bible that said that God rules everything, is everywhere, and is in everything. 1991, Leonard Sweet, who's done talks and workshops with Rick Warren, and he's gone to many. When I was up in Saskatoon last year, Leonard Sweet was coming into town. He's all over the place. In his book, Quantum Spirituality, which helps to bring quantum physics into the scene to maybe prove that God is in every molecule, every atom, Sweet says, quantum spirituality bonds us to all creation, as well as to other members of the human family. This entails a radical doctrine of embodiment of God in the very substance of creation. This guy's being held up as one of our premier leaders right now. And I mentioned in my last talk that in his book, Soul Tsunami, he says, to survive in the postmodern culture, you need to learn to speak out of both sides of your mouth. Rick Warren was a front cover endorsement. These guys have just invaded and infected the church with all of this stuff. They do not have a love of the truth. They're not valiant for the truth. And I have talked to a number of people here who are in churches where there's Christian yoga, the pastor's wife loves Jesus calling. It's a bad situation, and it's a difficult situation because it's hard to leave a church like that when you've been in it for 30 years and you have all your friends there. And that's exactly what Rick Warren said. If you have your 7 best friends in your church, you'll probably never leave it. Well, part of the Christian faith is you have to be able to leave things. You have to separate yourself from the world and from things that aren't true. Some of you may remember Betty Eady in her book, Embraced by the Light, in 1992. She presented herself as a Christian. This book worked its way, became a bestseller in Christian bookstores. And she, while presenting herself as a Christian, she was really a Mormon New Ager. I actually did a radio program where they had Betty Eady on first. I think it was in Michigan. Somewhere in Michigan. And then after Betty Eady had an hour, then I came on and critiqued what she did. That was one of the rare opportunities where we actually had a chance to rebut some of these people. Betty Eady, in her book, Embraced by the Light, was a near-death experience. She alleged near-death experience. She said, I felt God in the plant in me, his love pouring into us. We were all one. Now, these were the days when there was just like this was like the foot coming through the door, and you go, hey, I see a foot coming through the door, and then the foot pulls back and disappears. Then you go about your business, then boom, the foot comes back out again. Those were the days when you could isolate a few of these things. Now it's like a flood. They're coming in everywhere. There's so many false teachers. There are false teachers arising as I speak. There are new books that are coming out that are going to be loved by quote-unquote Christians as I speak. So you need to know what the bottom line deception is. We can't keep track. Those of us that are doing discernment can't keep track of all these things. I mean, it's beyond belief. But if you know the simplicity in Christ, Christ crucified, everything happened on the cross, and you know the simplicity of the deception, then you can spot it when it comes in. But we're at a stage now where we need to go further than just telling our friends and neighbors that this is a bad book. We need to be able to tell them why. That's why we have booklets. Lighthouse Trails has 50 booklets now, I think, that are on Lectio Divina, yoga. I've got one on Oprah Winfrey's New Age Christianity, actually two of them. There's all sorts of topics. If you go to Lighthouse Trails, you can see these booklets. All of them are online, free. You can download them. The booklets are much more effective if you're giving them to somebody because they present more nicely than handing somebody just, you know, print out from the computer or from the printer. But we're at a stage now where we're actually witnessing to Christians probably as much as we are to the world. It's unbelievable. We're trying to hang on to people and keep them in the faith and keep them from leaving the faith if they haven't already. 1992, Sue Monk Kidd, she was a former Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher. She's now a best-selling New Age mystic. She wrote a book called The Dance of the Dissident Daughter. She said, restoring the feminine symbol of deity means that divinity will no longer be only heavenly, other, out there, up there, beyond time and space, beyond body and death. It will also be right here, right now, in me, in the earth, in this river, in this rock, in excrement and roses. So we're really getting into some pretty wild stuff. When we say that God is in everything, then she's taking it to a literal conclusion there. God's a force. May the force be with you was no just idle statement in that movie. It's being argued that a force is interpenetrates the creation, and that force is God. They use the name source. You're going to see source popping up a lot more in even pastors' talks. They refer to God as the source. That's what we refer to in the New Age. When I worked with a channeler, he channeled the source. The source of the collective God coming through him. 1992, there was a book put out by the editors of the New Age Journal, and it was called As Above, So Below. Here's what they said in the introduction. Thousands of years ago in ancient Egypt, the great master alchemist Hermes Trismegistus, believed to be a contemporary of the Hebrew prophet Abraham, proclaimed this fundamental truth about the universe, as above, so below. As below, so above. This maxim implies that the transcendent God beyond the physical universe and the immanent God within ourselves are one. Heaven, earth, spirit, and matter, the invisible and visible worlds form a unity to which we are intimately linked. There it is, immanent again. So that was in 1992. The very next year, Eugene Peterson comes up with the message, supposedly at first a paraphrase, now being described as a translation. Eugene Peterson not only uses the occult word or phrase, as above, so below, but he actually puts these New Age words in the mouth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Instead of in earth as it is in heaven, Peterson has Jesus proclaiming the occult New Age phrase, as above, so below, right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. Also in his message translation of Ephesians 4:6, after erroneously translating that God is present in all, Peterson suddenly introduces the concept of oneness. Listen to what he says for Ephesians 4:6. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. In the King James, it's present in you all, talking to the Ephesians, the faithful in Christ Jesus. They like to take those statements that are being directed to Christians and to take them on and make them universal statements. Then he says, right after that, everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. The list of people that use the message and endorse the message is like a who's who of today's Christian leaders. from Billy Graham to Rick Warren to Beth Moore to David Jeremiah, you name it. I don't have any idea if these people, if they read that book, then we are really in bad shape. And if they didn't read the book, then shame on them for endorsing this thing that's just, there's so many terrible translations in this book. One that comes to mind immediately is the one, let's see, it's in 2 Peter 1:16, I think. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peterson translates that, we weren't, just wishing upon a star when we made known unto you. Hello? That's Jiminy Cricket. That's Disneyland. That has nothing to do with cunningly devised fables. A cunningly devised fable is the shack. Who's on the front cover as an endorsee of the shack? Eugene Peterson, who just took cunningly devised fables out of the Bible and put, we weren't just wishing upon a star. I think in Lamentations, Peterson says, enter the silence. Hello, that's everything we're warning about. And to be, this whole be still and know that I am God is what is used by the contemplative emergent church to lead people into their quiet time with the Lord. That's what we did in the New Age. But we started our meditations in the same way by saying, be still and know that I am God. Why are we using that? That isn't what Psalm 46:10 is all about anyway. It's not a call to contemplative prayer, as Sarah Young says, or as Beth Moore would have you believe. 1993, Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen, Chicken Soup for the Soul. On page 69 in this book, Jack Canfield, one of the co-authors in this very first Chicken Soup book, has a story called The Golden Buddha. And he says, underneath each of us is a golden Buddha, a golden Christ, or a golden essence, which is our real self. I've seen that book in the past in Christian bookstores, Chicken Soup for the Soul. By the way, the first story in that book is by Eric Butterworth, the very person that Oprah has referred to as a go-to book for people that want to reconcile their old-time Christianity with the new-time Christianity. She did that on a program with Eckhart Tolle. Somebody said, Oprah, you're introducing some new stuff here. This is kind of a new spirituality. How do I reconcile, what I've been believing with what you're talking about? She says, Eric Butterworth. This was like 4 years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So she introduced Eric Butterworth back in 1987, and she's still pushing him as a way to reconcile. No, you don't Eric Butterworth, the New Age does not reconcile itself with biblical Christianity. It tries to eliminate it. How about the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is their doctrine, 1994. Number 795, let us rejoice then and give thanks that we have become not only Christians, but Christ himself. Do you understand and grasp, brethren, God's grace toward us? Marvel and rejoice, we have become Christ. I read that to a Catholic friend of mine, and I said, Jenny, what's your response to that? She said, I'm stunned. I'm stunned. Because she knows. I worked with her at hospice, and she knows this whole thing about, God not being in everyone and everything. And then also in that catechism, for the Son of God became man so that we might become God. Also, the only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature so that he made man might make men gods. Neil Donald Walsh, Conversations with God, 1996. God tells Walsh, he's channeling God, okay? This is what we would have. That's ridiculous, right? Number one best-selling book on the New York Times bestseller list for 2.5 years straight. Most Christians have never heard of the book because their pastors don't care enough to call out these false prophets and to warn people about them. God tells Walsh, you are already a God, you simply don't know it. We're being told that we need to awaken. That word's all over the place. We're having Christian awakening conferences, overlapping term. We are to awaken. We are to leave our ego and awaken to the God within. You catch the irony of that? That's the biggest ego trip in the world, to leave your ego and then go to the God within, that you're God. When I was a kid, if somebody was acting real arrogant, we'd say, who do you think you are, God? And they go, no, I don't think I'm God. Now, if you don't say that you are God, there's something wrong with you in the New Age or coming into the church. Henry Nouwen, who's quoted by all sorts of pastors these days, in 1997, He was a Catholic mystic. He said, the God who dwells in our inner sanctuary is also the God who dwells in the inner sanctuary of every human being. He wrote that in his book, Here and Now. 1999, Leonard Sweet and Soul Tsunami. I've mentioned that thing where you speak out of both sides of your mouth, and then he's real clever. You speak out of both sides of your mouth, and he goes, transcendent, immanent. How clever. He's bringing in the whole idea that God's in everyone and everything. And I've heard apologists, one of Rick Warren's apologists said, wow, Leonard Sweet, you know, I don't even know what he talks about, but he's just so brilliant, you know. Rick Warren in 2002 in The Purpose-Driven Life. This was one of my key findings in that book where I just knew I had to write a book about the purpose-driven life. He said, because God is with you all the time, no place is any closer to God than the place where you are right now. That almost sounds like Maitreya. The Bible says he rules everything and is everywhere and is in everything. Robert Schuller, right as I was writing the book about Rick Warren, Robert Schuller, in an Our Power of Sermon on November 9, 2003, said this. You know, in theology, pardon me for using a couple of big words, but in theology, the God we believe in, this God of Abraham, is a transcendent God, but he's also an immanent God. Transcendent means up there, out there, above us all. But God is also an immanent God, immanence of God and the transcendence of God. Then you have a balanced perspective of God. The immanence of God means here, in me, around me, in society, in the world. This God here in the humanities and the science and the arts, sociology and politics. The immanence of God. Yes, God is alive and he is in every single human being. Rick Warren's mentor, although he does not admit that. In Rick Warren's Foundations, Saddleback Church Foundations Participants Guide, 2003, it's written, the fact that God stands above and beyond his creation does not mean he stands outside his creation. He is both transcendent, above and beyond his creation, and immanent within and throughout his creation. I mentioned Sarah Young in Jesus Calling, page 199. Her Jesus says, I am above all as well as in all. 2006, in the book The Secret by Rhonda Byrne, she prominently features the phrase, as above, so below, at the beginning of the book. And then on page 164, she says, you are God in a physical body. This sounds preposterous to believers. This is happening all over the place, and it's a floodgate that's open in the church. And for some reason, all of these people in leadership do not address these issues. There was a movie in 2006 called What the Bleep Do We Know? In this New Age film, quantum physics is used to attempt to persuade viewers that God is in everything. It was in the movie theater in my little town in the mountains of California. And in that movie, J.Z. Knight, a channeler, who channels supposedly this ancient master by the name of Ramtha, a demon, channels an ancient spirit named Ramtha and states that quantum physics proves that we're all God. She says, we have the epitome of a great science, quantum physics. Everyone is God. Elizabeth Gilbert, who's just traveled with Oprah, with Rob Bell and several others on a tour of the country, in her book, Eat, Pray, Love, she quotes from her guru, God dwells within you as yourself exactly the way you are. To know God, you need only renounce one thing, your sense of division from God. This is really important. You've got oneness. The opposite of oneness, according to the New Age, God in Christ, is separation. Separation is a bad word. Are you into oneness or separation? They use these words to divide. We're to separate ourselves from the world. We know that we're separate. You know, we're called out. But they make that word separation. And in my book, False Christ Coming, Does Anybody Care? I've documented how the New Age, Christ, and God are saying that those who do not subscribe to oneness are into separation. Separation is the cause of hatred. Separation is the cause of lawlessness. Separation needs to be eliminated from the world. Did you catch that? Not biblical Christianity. Separation representing biblical Christianity. It's there. It's there just the way it was in Hitler's Mein Kampf. It's unbelievable. It's in our face, and nobody seems to be addressing it. As they say, the elephant in the room, the persecution, the hardship, everything that's going to come to whoever's here when this unfolds, and it's unfolding now rapidly, It's in place that those who do not subscribe to humanity's divinity will be hindering world peace. Let me just back up and explain that. If all of humanity is God, then each person is a cell, they would say, in the humanity and in the oneness of God. If one of those cells does not recognize its own divinity, it's misfiring. Okay, it's like the Christmas tree at the White House or at Rockefeller Center. Okay, you know, at the appointed moment, the president throws the switch, phew, the tree lights up. When I was a kid, if one bulb didn't work in that string of bulbs, what did it do? It short-circuited the whole string of lights. That's the argument that's going to be used, that those who do not subscribe to humanity's divinity will be hindering the ability of humanity to move on and to have world peace. And what is it, 1 Thessalonians 5, peace and safety. They'll say peace and safety, but then destruction comes. It's going to look peaceful. The Antichrist, we're told in Daniel 8, 24, 25, by peace he shall destroy many. It says he will destroy wonderfully. Oprah. Everybody says she's wonderful. What did Jeremiah say in Jeremiah 5, 30, 31? He said, a wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. My people love to have it so. Everything is so graphically pictured and true in the Bible. It's telling us exactly what's going on today. Glenn Beck in 2011, in his book, The Seven Wonders That Will Change Your Life, he says, if God is everything and everywhere and inside everyone, then I figured he had to be inside me too. I wasn't here by accident. I was a part of God's plan, and I had to respect that plan, at least not resent it. I had to respect myself as part of him. My father's granola, hippie, New Age spirituality, which I actually agree with, he's a Mormon New Ager. And yet we've got him just, people in the church, a lot of people in the church just think he's, wow, he's saying the right stuff, and he's right there hitting politically, and, you know, half of the truth is a lie. In the time that I have left, I want to go through the scriptures, and again, this is going to be a booklet that will be online, available to print out probably in about a week. So if you're furiously trying to take down some of these scriptures I'm about to give you, I mean, you can do that, but we'll have it out there, and also it'll be in booklet form. These are just some that I compiled. There are many others. God is not in man. This is a scriptural refutation. Deuteronomy 5:7, thou shalt have none other gods before me. That includes the God in everyone and everything that is not the true God. Psalm 9:20, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. This one, I was praying one day, and it was like, Lord, is there one that just really is graphic and stands out? And I don't know, somewhere in the next hour or so, as I was reading through the Bible, I came upon Psalm 39:5. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Best state, true self, God self, higher self, whatever state, absolute vanity. Psalm 81:9, there shall be no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. And believe me, the New Age God is a strange God. Isaiah 31:3, now the Egyptians are men and not God. Isaiah 45:5-6, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 16:20, shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Ezekiel 28:2, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Daniel 11:14, I thought was really interesting. And in those times, talking about Antichrist, there shall be many that will stand up against the king of the south, also the robbers of thy people. What a great definition of a lot of these pastors. The robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves, I am God, and establish the vision. The church needs a vision. And they shall fall. Hosea 11:9, for I am God and not man. Matthew 23:12, whoever shall exalt himself, I am God, shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. This one's very graphic. John 2, 24, 25, Tom alluded to it earlier. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now, if he knew that he was in man, he wouldn't say that. He would trust him in others. Romans 1, 21, 23, and 25, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made unto corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I've got a few others. I'll just Galatians 6:3. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And Ephesians 5:6, very simply, just says, let no man deceive you with vain words. And Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. We all thought we were a part of Christ. The New Age thinks that it is Christ, that humanity is Christ. Many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ. When I read that, I hung my head and I went, he's warning me about me. When I was in the New Age, he was describing exactly where I was at. We all thought that we were Christ. I'm just going to go ahead and read the conclusion that I have for the booklet, and then we'll close. It's been rightly said that God is God and we are not. However, there is tremendous pressure coming today from many different directions to convince us that there is a new spirituality that can save the world. We're told that if we would accept the foundational truth that we are all one because God is in everyone and everything, world peace will happen. But we also know from Scripture that a false Christ, Antichrist, will ultimately manipulate the world and by peace shall destroy many, Daniel 8:25. We're told that what looks like peace and safety will actually turn into destruction, 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Universal oneness is obviously a broad way. Oneness is a broad way. Separation is a narrow way. That's a good way to remember that. And Jesus warned that broad is the way that leads to destruction, Matthew 7:13. He states that one day the whole world will be deceived, Revelation 12:9. He warns that narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Rick Warren says there's 2 billion Christians in the world, 2 billion people calling themselves Christians. There's the son that said he would go and didn't. But could this happen? Jesus said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, Matthew 28:12. The Apostle Paul said that people believe not the truth and receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12. As a result, humanity will end up being deceived by spiritual experiences that are not from the one true God. With itching ears, they will be deceived by the great heretical idea that we are all one because God is in everyone and everything. They will follow Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, 2 Thessalonians 2:9. But God is obviously not impressed with heretical devices like worldly oneness, and neither should anyone who reads and believes their Bible. And then I mentioned last night about Genesis 11:6. Now that this people is one, there's nothing that can be restrained from their imagination. They have one language, and he scatters them all over the face of the earth. So much for God's attitude towards oneness. Scripture records that God confounded their language. Okay, so Acts 17:26 affirms that we, humanity, are all one blood. We came from an original set of parents. We're all related in that respect. We all have one blood. The Bible tells us that because we come from an original set of parents, Adam and Eve. But that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit, John 3:6. Thus Jesus necessarily said, marvel not that ye must be born again, John 3:7. It's only after the conversion to the true Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit is sent to believers. As a result of that commitment and conversion, it can be said that God is now in those believers, but those believers are not God. And most certainly, God is not in everyone and everything. Only God is God. I mentioned this before. When we were kids, it used to be a real put-down when we would say to someone, who do you think you are, God? The person being addressed would almost immediately and unequivocally deny the accusation, saying, no way. Now in today's New Age, new spirituality climate, it's like you're putting yourself down if you don't immediately proclaim that you are God. What irony. Years ago, people claiming to be God were considered delusional. Soon we will be considered delusional if we don't think we're God. It's been said that a big lie told often enough and convincingly enough eventually becomes the truth. Unless Christians and Christian leaders start contending for the faith and exposing the lie that God that they say God is in everything, then evil will prevail and the future will play out just like it says in the prophetic books of the Bible, only sooner rather than later. And then I quote 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-12. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and science and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-12. A pastor in Southern California sent me an email, and there was a scene in a park, and this man was wearing a T-shirt. And on the T-shirt, it said, "I used to be an atheist until I realized I was God." May God have mercy on us all as we go into these final days, and may he give us the strength to endure and to stand and to witness boldly and lovingly to our brothers and sisters and to anyone who will listen to us. Thank you very much.